You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and this week we are discussing Creed 2. So let's just get right into this because I did previously discuss the first Creed, which is essentially a spinoff of the Rocky movie franchise, but it's like a spinoff, but it's still within the franchise. So it's not like recreated. We're still following the same storylines, essentially. So yeah, I discussed the first Creed. I believe that's when the podcast was still titled Glam Deets. So you can still find it. If you can either just keep scrolling on the iTunes page or whatever, wherever you're listening to the podcast on, and you can find it. Or I'm sure if you just search Creed Glam Deets, maybe it'll come up. I don't know. Give it a try. Let me know. But that does exist. Or easiest way to do it, go to innerglam.com and just search Creed, and that will pull up the webpage, and then you can just click to listen from there. So there. Now that you have all that information, let's get into talking about this movie. Now, I have seen Rocky movies. I've seen the first two Rocky movies. I think I've seen like half of Rocky 3. Rocky 4, I think I've seen bits and pieces of it, but honestly, I could not remember. I said this when I talked about the first Creed, but my father was like the Rocky fan. So that's how I even watched Rocky to begin with. And so for me, as things keep happening, or as you keep making movies about things, I'll eventually tap out, especially if I just kind of like grow out of it or whatever. So Rocky was one of those things where I guess you could say I grew out of it. And I just never really went back to watch any of the movies between like Rocky 2 and Creed. So therefore, I was probably one of the numerous people who went into this because this one pulls a lot of references from Rocky 4. So I was one of, like, I knew who these people were, but the story and what actually happened in the movie was a little bit like, I'm going to have to go and look that up as I'm watching it. So, which leads me into one of my points that I wanted to talk about, which was that one thing that Creed does a really good job of is, like, within this franchise, just pulling information and pulling references from all of those previous movies and just tying everything in together, even decades later as we are, because now, like, Rocky now or Creed now is pretty much a generational thing because Creed is the son of Apollo Creed, and so therefore it's like a generational thing, and then he ends up having his daughter, and hopefully, who knows, honestly, who knows what will happen in the future. We could get a spinoff movie that features his daughter in some capacity. Who knows? But yeah, so it's kind of like a generational thing. So I do appreciate that they tie in everything from the previous movies. But before I get too far ahead of myself, you guys know I like to start these things off with a little bit of metrics, if you will. So Rotten Tomatoes, 81% critic score, 89% audience score. Makes sense to me, and I think that's fairly balanced. As far as the money, so this Creed opened during our Thanksgiving weekend, which is essentially an extended weekend. So it's Wednesday through Sunday versus our normal opening weekend, which is like Thursday night through Sunday. So with that taken into account, so our original domestic weekend opening Creed did around the $35.5 million mark. But for the entire Thanksgiving weekend, Creed took in $55 million for that Thanksgiving weekend. Currently, total to date, we're sitting at about $56 million. So with all that being said, Creed came out in the number two spot right behind Wreck-It Ralph Destroys the Internet, or I can't think of what that title is. I keep meaning to go and watch the first one so then I can go see the second one, because the second one has the Disney princesses in it, but that's not what this is about. But anyway, so yeah, so second behind the Wreck-It Ralph movie. And yeah, so they pretty much made their budget in this opening weekend. The budget was $50 million. So I mean, based on opening weekend, based on reviews, I mean, it's out there for there to be a Creed 3. And we can talk about if we need a Creed 3 at the end, because you guys know that I love to talk about if we need more things in a franchise. But we're going to save that. We're just going to get into the meat of this, because this is not going to be too long. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a quickie. But it could be a quickie. So we're just going to go with it and we're going to see where we end. Because I don't want to say it's going to be a quickie and then and not be a quickie. So we're just going to leave our options open and we're just going to get into this. So Creed 2 stars Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, Tessa Thompson, Felicia Rashad, directed by Stephen Caple Jr. The screenwriter, Sylvester Stallone, and Jewel Taylor. I don't know if it's Jewel or Jewel. So we're just going to say both. So yeah. And then of course, because we do pull a lot of references from Creed 4, we do get to see some people from that movie, specifically Dolph Lundgren, who plays Ivan Drago or Drago, which you guys, I kept, even when they were saying like Drago, for some reason, I want to say Drago. And then I'm like, why do I keep wanting to flip how I say it? And I think it's because I'm thinking of Harry Potter. So if I say it incorrectly, that's because my brain is like flipping it. And then my mouth is just spitting out whatever version of it that should be said. So don't like come for me if I say it wrong. But yeah. And then we also get to meet his son, Victor Drago, who was played by Florian Montenu. So, yeah, let's get into my notes. I actually don't have a lot of notes, guys. So, we're just going to get right into it, and we're going to start. So, as sequels are, because, you know, I love to talk about sequels. As sequels are, this was pretty much your standard formula for a sequel. Where, and I say that because going into this, well, even how we end it and just following the whole storyline, it's kind of had like that formulaic kind of a feel to it where, at least to me, as I was watching it, I was kind of able to predict some of the things that were going to happen. So, you know, he has his first fight where like he becomes champion. And then, of course, we have a bunch of other moments, which we're going to get into later, but we're just going to talk about the formula of the story. So he has his first fight. He becomes champion. Then here comes Ivan and Victor. And they're like, oh, we're dredging up the past and we want to fight you. So, of course, he takes on that fight. And to me, I'm like, he's going to lose the first fight, which is going to mean there's going to need to be a second fight. And he's going to win that second fight, which is essentially going to be our climax slash end of the movie. So to me, that felt formulaic and kind of predictable. I don't know if anyone else felt that way while watching the movie, but that's how I felt. And I was like, I don't know. I wasn't really surprised at the outcome of the fight. That being said, or even his little spat with Rocky, like he got so upset because essentially Rocky let him fend for himself because he wouldn't listen. And I kind of was like, you know, it's on you. You got to take some of this blame for yourself. And Rocky was like, he will break you. You could possibly die. And he still did it. And then he got mad at Rocky. And then they weren't talking for a little bit. And then Mama Marianne had to step in and get Rocky to come out and pretty much get Adonis together, because he was pretty much just in his own funk or whatever, if you will. So he came, got them together, and then they made up. And then for the second fight, Raikou was there by his side. So, I mean, all that I was not really surprised at. But that being said, I will say that as familiar as the formula of the story was, there were some standout moments in this movie that I very much appreciated and I took note of and I want to talk about, because you guys know I always start with the audience reaction in the specific theater that I am in, but that really much ties into how some of the things that I liked about this movie. So I'm going to weave it in there, and we're going to put that on pause for a minute, and we're going to talk about Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson. Tessa Thompson, who plays Bianca Adonis' girlfriend, then fiance. They don't get married in this movie. So girlfriend, then fiance, then baby mama. So we're going to talk about them because they have really good chemistry, like on-screen chemistry, where it just really works. And I love, because, you know, usually they do like chemistry reads and all that stuff, and usually it works. Sometimes it's like, oh, okay, whatever. It doesn't really stand out. But like, they have really good chemistry. And I feel like Tessa Thompson, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, I feel like for all the things I've seen her in when she has to be in a relationship with someone, I feel like she always has really good chemistry with whoever she's on screen with. So I don't know, but they have really good chemistry. And I think that also plays a big role into how people perceive this movie and how, and their reception to it, because you're immediately drawn into it. You care about their relationship and how it's going to work out, especially in this one, because Adonis is fighting so many internal things post his first fight with Victor that there are moments when I'm like, girl, I don't know if I could handle it, because it's kind of like, and I was glad that she had that conversation with his mom, and she pretty much was like, he's a grown man. He's essentially is going to have to figure this out himself. And you could just be there. It's essentially not her job to fix him. And I appreciated that conversation because it's true. And I'm glad that it was put in there and it was recognized. And I don't know if many people will take that conversation and like apply it to real life or whatever, but I'm glad that it's in there. And so maybe for someone who was watching the movie, it like sparked something. And then they left thinking, okay, I need to change some things in my life. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there, but I appreciated that moment. And we kind of got to see Bianca handle Adonis, but not in a stereotypical way or a way where she essentially has to take on all the weight for him. And even after she had the baby and she was like, oh, can you watch him? Because I need to go to the recording studio. Like, I appreciated that moment too, because you know, you have your baby and you're pretty much stuck in the house for a huge chunk of time because the baby pretty much only needs the mom, because the mom is like, gives it food, which is like the life source. So the mom is pretty much attached to the baby for a huge chunk of time. But I appreciated that she's like, no, I need this time for me to go and focus on what I love to do. And I'm glad that she didn't put that on a back burner or give that up. So I'm gonna just step off that Bianca pedestal that I'm on. But yeah, I just appreciated all of her moments in this movie, and I appreciated their chemistry that they had in this movie. Now, let's talk. I did feel like we got to see a lot more of his mom in this one versus the first one, and that is mostly because we relocate from Philly to LA, and LA is essentially where, I'm pretty sure that's where he grew up. I could be wrong, because I did not watch the first Creed before. Well, I watched it originally, but I did not rewatch it before going to see this one. So I did not refresh my memory. So when things were happening, it was like, you know, when you have those moments when something is happening and you're trying to remember it, and so it comes to you very, very slowly. So there were a lot of moments where I was like, oh yeah, that did happen. Oh yeah. So it's kind of like a slow a slow burn, if you will. But I appreciated that she was in this more because essentially sometimes like Rocky is kind of like that father figure for Adonis. But he's kind of like a father, uncle type of a feel, which, you know, he calls him unk, whatever. So it's kind of that. But you need your mama. And I was glad that she was there and just the wisdom that she bought and the no nonsense that she bought and that she kept it real with him. Even when he first came to her and told her about his initial fight that he's going to have with Victor and just her reaction to that, response to that. I don't know. I just appreciated that she was in this more so versus the first one. So that's that. Let's talk about Rocky and Adonis because they also have a good chemistry on screen and a good relationship. And you just are like, you just want them to always be in good spirits around each other. But I also appreciate that they can have those moments where even when things get hectic or when tensions get really high, there's still a level of respect. Even when Adonis first came to Rocky and was like, oh, I'm going to take the fight. I'm going to do it because I have to. And even when they were having that back and forth, and even when Rocky's like, well, I won't be there. And then he turns and then I can't remember what Adonis said, but then Rocky ended up going into the house and he and Adonis paused for a second. And then he like ended up leaving. Like, there's just levels of respect to it that you just notice throughout the storytelling that they have for each other, even when they're very, very angry. Like even after the first fight, when Rocky shows up in the hospital room and Adonis is in the bed, is laid out in the bed, and he's pretty much like just seething and doesn't want to talk to him. But he still, like, he knows that he understands why he's mad and he understands that it's essentially something that he needs to work out for himself so he doesn't try to be pushy about it. So that when we get to the moment when he does end up flying back out to LA to help Adonis get back to his self in his head, like, it still leaves it open for them to be able to bridge that gap. I don't know if any of that made sense, but that's just what I noticed and appreciated from their relationship in this story. So yeah, let's talk about, I want to talk about the fight scenes. You guys know I love me some fight scenes, but boxing scenes are they're like a whole nother level of a fight scene than like my normal fight scenes that I generally like, because, and this is where I'm going to talk about my theater experience now. Or should I talk about the actual training for... Okay, let's talk about this training. So, I don't know if you follow any of these actors on social media, but if you want to see them training for Creed 2, there are plenty of montages you can find on YouTube. Just Google Creed 2 training and you'll pull up a wealth of them and you can just see them all seriously getting it in to get in shape for this movie, which is highly appreciated because they all look like they could kick somebody's ass. Just being for real about that. But let's talk about Michael B. Jordan specifically, because going into Creed 2, he's coming off of Black Panther. And in Black Panther, I mean, he looked good in Black Panther, but apparently, I guess he gained like 10 to 15 pounds for Black Panther, but you know, you gain weight, you can gain it in different places. So how he gained that weight was different from what he needed to look like in Creed 2. So he has celebrity trainer Caliette, and pretty much starting four months prior to filming, they started training. And then once filming started, they were training 4 to 9 hours daily. I'm like sweating thinking about that. I feel like I'm losing pounds just thinking about that amount of working out. He had 6 protein-rich meals per day. Still, not only am I sweating / losing weight just thinking about it, but then now I'm also full thinking about it. So like, he got into shape for this movie in a different way. And then she also had to check him physically to see how he was shaping up, because he had to look a certain way for this movie. So, I mean, they all got ready and they all looked good, like massively, or not massively, but like they looked in shape. Especially Florian Montanu, his neck, I'm not even lying, his neck is the size of one of my thighs. Like, he looked humongous. So if I would have seen him pop up on a screen trying to challenge me to a fight, my first reaction would have been like, nope, I'm good, thank you. Like, when he showed up, I would have been like, no, I'm okay, we're fine. Sorry. I mean, not only is he taller, but he's like two people in muscle. So when I was watching, I was like, you're not going to win the first one. And I don't even know how you're going to win the second one. But he looked like he could just pick you up and break you in half. But that brings me to the fight scenes, because... And this also brings me to the theater reaction. So I feel like I haven't talked about this theater in a while, but if you guys listened to Glam Deets, when the podcast was Glam Deets and I did movie reviews, most of those movies I saw at Regal Theater in Jack London Square in Oakland on $5 Sundays. I used to always talk about $5 Sundays. And I stopped going there, one, because I kind of switched to moving... or switched to watching movies on $5 Tuesdays, which, so I would go to completely different theaters. And also because $5 Sundays is just, it's just too much. All the shows always sell out. You have to get there super, super early if you want to get a good seat, because every single seat is going to be filled. And I'm like, it's just too much stress. I'm too old for this. I just want to go watch the movie and relax and watch it in peace. Because then, not only that, but... because it's $5, then it's a family affair. So every single person is there. People are having side conversations and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, no, I don't need it. And that's that. So due to having conflicting things during the week, I have not been able to go to $5 Tuesdays for the past couple of weeks. And also because my sister, who you guys, if you listen to Glam Deets, then you know she used to co-host that podcast with me. She wanted to see the movie, so we decided to go on $5 Sunday, which is technically like $6.50 Sunday, but we went. And so therefore the theater, every single seat was taken. Not sure how it was in your showing for this movie, but in mine, every single ticket, every single seat was filled. And so therefore... It felt like, honestly, I was scared because I was like, oh my gosh. Like, to my right was like a group of teens. I was like, please don't let them talk throughout this entire movie. And then on my far right was like a group, like a family. So it was like a range of ages. And then it was just like, okay. But thankfully, once the movie started, people were not talking during it. But when we got to the actual boxing scenes, especially when we got to the last boxing sequence, when he goes up against Victor the second time, it felt like I was at, you know how people used to do pay-per-view for like big boxing fights? I don't know if people still do it, because I don't know if it's... I feel like it's easier to access that stuff, but it used to be where like one person would purchase it and then everyone would go to that one person's place to watch the fight, the big fight or whatever. It felt like that. It felt, or like I was at an actual live boxing event. Everyone was on the edge of their seats. Everyone was screaming. Everyone was like, oh, like when he's getting hit, like people was like, oh, or like tell him like, let's go, get out the corner. I was saying stuff. I was like, get out the corner. Get off the ropes. So it really felt like just a communal type of a reaction. And y'all know, I don't like a lot of stuff happening in the theater when I'm trying to watch a movie. But for this, it worked and I enjoyed it. because it felt like every single person in the theater was on the same level and everyone was just feeding off everyone's energy. It was really exciting. But yeah, so let's talk about the first fight, because the first fight, oh my gosh, like that rib crack, you could just feel everyone in the theater feel that rib crack. And Stephen Caple Jr., he talked about how like he wanted you to feel what Adonis was feeling, and kudos, you did that to a T. We felt everything, even in their second match, when he hit that rib again. I was just like, but especially the first one, when he hit that rib, I was like, call the fight. Because when you break ribs, your ribs are around your lungs and it could puncture your lung and therefore you can die. So I was just like, call up the fight, stop it, throw in a towel, whatever you got to do. We need to end it. And then when he came in, like, I knew he wasn't going to die because we were barely halfway through the movie when this first fight happened. So I was like, when he, after the bell rang and then Victor still punched him in the, I was like, oh, I felt it in my bones. Like, everyone was like, oh, like, it felt like you just felt it. But that second match, it was just electrifying in the theater. And I honestly want to know if anyone else's theater experience was similar. Like, if the crowd was just feeding off of the energy on screen and then everyone was feeding off each other, because it got real in my theater room. But yeah, also I wanted to talk about Adonis' entrances to his fight. So the first time he goes up against Victor, he comes out to Icon by Jaden Smith. And I was like, okay, I see you. But that second entrance for the second match, I loved that entrance. When he had like when it starts off with the light and then looks like a shooting star, and then looks like the shooting star like ends in like a galaxy of stars. And then he comes out and then you see Bianca, she's in front like singing, and then more lights come up, you see them behind her, and they start walking. I was like, oh, y'all better be creative with this entrance. I love that entrance. I could watch that entrance like multiple times because I really enjoyed it. But yeah, that's all I have to say about the entrances. But I almost forgot to talk about if we need a Creed 3. And you guys know how I feel about franchises. I mean, I enjoy franchises as long as if you're still making money, people are still genuinely interested in seeing more from that franchise, then I'm all for it. And also if the actors are still invested in wanting to tell more stories, then I'm all for it. So Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson both said in interviews that they are not opposed to doing another Creed, like they would be all in for it. And based on opening weekend, I mean, I would not be surprised if they do green light a Creed 3. So will I see Creed 3? I'll see it as long as it's still interesting. And yeah, I mean, overall, I guess I'll wrap it up for you guys because I feel like I can keep going unnecessarily, but we're going to wrap it up. Overall, I enjoyed the movie for how predictable and kind of formulaic the storyline was. There was still a lot in this that I feel like resonated really well with the viewer. So yeah, I guess I'm just going to get into my rating then. So I'm for sure going to rate this a B+, because like even off that theater energy alone and just how everyone reacted to that last fight. And also, I forgot to mention this, but when he ended up winning, pretty much everyone started clapping and cheering. Some people stood up. It was like, okay. And then Devin told me like when she was coming in, well, like when she got to the theater, she's like, yeah, it was like a standing ovation in the theater next to us. So clearly it wasn't just our theater where this happened. So I honestly really want to know, you guys, tell me how your theater experience was for this, because I know it wasn't just mine. Everyone else has had to be hyped, like, on another level. But yeah, so my rating's a B+. I super enjoyed it. It will be interesting to watch it in a different setting to see how I feel about it. And I have like all that energy from everyone else in the theater. But yeah, that's all I have. As usual, like I told you guys in the previous episode, we are now on Instagram at Currently Binging. So make sure you find us and follow on there. And we're also on Twitter at Current Binge. But yeah, if you guys want to talk to me personally, you can follow me personally at In Her Glam on everything, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.